Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
It's working for the weekend. It's Friday. Honk, honk. Mr. Slade has just laid the horn down. It's time to slide off that dinosaur in your car. Then get in separate beds from your wife. And then if you're Barney Rubble, you do squats with no weight.
I think the Flintstones slept together, didn't they? They were in the same bed.
Nope.
Never.
You don't mess with Fred on Flintstones trivia. That's a place I know not to go.
Well, for some reason, I thought they were together.
No, and neither were Barney and his wife
Betty.
They did not sleep together. Separate beds with a table in between.
One of the best little things that you can find on the internet right now is when the Flintstones did a commercial for, was it Winston Lights? It was some sort of cigarette
it's right.
Got Fred and Barney outside smoking cigarettes and doing an actual ad for cigarettes.
They're laying down with their backs against the house. But I think that they're like Chesterfields or something. I think it's a company that no longer exists, but I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, good old cartoon characters. I mean, obviously that was a show originally that was made for adults.
Yeah, that was a primetime show. It was supposed to be an animated Honeymooners.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a show for not originally, for the whole run. It was supposed to be for adults. So that was a primetime show aimed towards adults.
Well, that show continued its big run when they made the movie version of it and did the best casting of all time and made Betty Rubble the role played by Rosie O'Donnell.
That's right.
They threw Rosie O'Donnell into a lot of stuff that was, like, she was in East of Eden.
But East of Eden, she wasn't supposed to be a vixen. Like, she was like a detective who was fish out of water thrown into it with Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
Like, her and Dan Aykroyd were the detective. The vixen in it was Dana Delaney.
But you could have gotten her, you could have gotten someone that wasn't morbidly obese, maybe, for that role. Because the sight gag of a fat chick in leather goes,
that
wears
was the
off
joke.
Pretty quick.
Like, that was the big joke.
But do they realize in a film that's 90 minutes that the sight gag is not gonna take up the whole time? All right, so it is Friday. Have you decided, Rich, if the Shirtlieb clan is going to travel the week following the next one?
We're going to talk tonight. I mean, tonight, we're going to figure it all out. But, I mean, it's funny because 24 hours ago, I felt better. And now this morning, I feel worse. Like, there's been some stories that have come out that are a little more concerning. And that is, first of all, I think California has been declared a state of emergency. I know Los Angeles County, there's been a bunch of outbreaks there. Did you hear about the cruise ship that is now sitting outside the coast of, it's either San Diego or it's Los Angeles, because the coronavirus has spread throughout that. And they just went to Hawaii. It was like Hawaii and they were supposed to go to Mexico. But apparently there's a bunch of people with symptoms that are on the boat. There's been a helicopter that's flown out there and delivering the coronavirus kits. That's the thing, is there's not even enough kits to even test this. So the places now that, that we're going to be going is the whole thing was going to start out west. And then we were going to go to Vegas and then Los Angeles. And so seeing that, first of all, there's a case yesterday that was found in Las Vegas as well. And everything I'm reading is that it's just going to spread. Think about Las Vegas. Now, I wasn't going to go there and do like a bunch of gambling or whatever. But you want to talk about a place where things could spread easily. You sit down at a blackjack table. Let's say someone's got coronavirus. You're touching all of those cards. Those cards just get spread to everyone. The dice as well. Everyone's touching the same stuff out there. On top of that, a hub for international travel. Everyone's coming in to go to Vegas and Los Angeles. So I'm going to these two hot zones, it seems like, out west. And then, like, locally, there's, like, apparently a guy that flew from Nashville to Logan and then back from Logan to Nashville, and he had the coronavirus. So here's the thing that's driving me crazy about all this, is that when you find out that somebody's had it somewhere, they're being very quiet about the details about where this person was. Why? Wouldn't you want more people to know? Like, if you were actually, if you flew this weekend from Logan anywhere, wouldn't you want to know if this person was in the terminal that you flew out of? And that way, if you do by any chance feel a little bit under the weather, maybe you start thinking, I should possibly get tested for the coronavirus. Or maybe if it's getting to a level where you feel very fluish, that you would possibly think about quarantining yourself. I mean, this is one of those things where the more information, the better, yet everyone's being really secretive about all of it. On top of that, MIT just canceled any kind of meeting for more than 15 people on the campus. They've put out this big bulletin about how they're not restricting, but they want to test people who are coming back from, like, any kind of international travel. Like, it's in the last 24 hours, it really started to blow up. Like, it kind of took a step back for a little bit, but now I'm a little more concerned. So we will talk. And as a matter of fact, Mary's talking to her doctor today, getting her advice on it. So we'll see. But it's been a really unsettling 24 hours.
So are you still going to, because you're not going to go, but are you still taking the time off?
Well, we don't know if we're not going to go. We don't know. Because, I mean, if
well, it sounds like you're very much, thank you.
No, we might alter our trip because where we're going out west, there doesn't seem to be anything going on. Like, it's the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And I also think another reason I'm a little more paranoid than a lot of people about this is because, you know, it's one thing if you live, you know, in a neighborhood and you're not away. But I mean, I live right in the middle of downtown and I see people like all over the place walking around with masks. And I live very close. I mean, there's a lot of international people who live right around where I am. And that, I mean, obviously tons of people traveling. So, I mean, I'm in a place that's very close, congested. There's a lot of people and it's fairly unsettling too. And I think that might be building the paranoia that, I mean, if I'm walking.
So maybe you're safer going out west.
Well, that's the thing is out west, I have no worries there. Like, if I was just going out there to go, like, the national parks and whatever, I wouldn't feel as worried.
So you're
it's
maybe
going to Vegas and going to Disneyland.
Okay, so maybe
that's freaking me out a little bit.
So maybe you're better off going out west than you are staying home.
I mean, the travel thing is weird. Like, going to airports is a little concerning. Like, that
concerning. But the airport
was just had somebody with a coronavirus.
No, I know, but where you live, I mean, just to go anywhere, I mean, just even in the building, I mean, there's you can't avoid people.
Well, the airport's concerning. Out of all the things, that's the most concerning. Once I'm out west, I'm fine. Like, if I could beam out there, I'd be fine. If I could drive out there, I'd be fine. But we might alter things up. Did you hear about the guy at the Seattle Dragons XFL game?
It's a vendor.
Yeah,
a vendor at the XFL Seattle Dragons game has tested positive for coronavirus. 22,000 people in the stands. They don't know who he interacted with.
Well, that was my original thing that I read. Yeah. I was like, well, at least nobody was at the game. But it's 22,000 people at this XFL game. And so, once again, I wish they would release, like, what booth he was working. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like everyone's really quiet about these details. Would you think that would actually help people?
And I know the King County Press Office, King County is where Seattle is. The King County Press Office said in a statement that the risk to those who attended the game is low. I don't know how they would
know that.
I have no idea.
You don't know that?
No, I don't know. Unless they know that the vendor was like, I don't know, the arena equivalent of a bar back.
So there's 36 cases in California. There's 22 in New York. There's 5 in Illinois. 4 in Florida, 3 in Arizona, 2 in, I'm sorry, 3 in Oregon, 2 in Arizona, 2 in Georgia, 2 here, 2 in New Hampshire.
I think there's 3 here now.
Fair enough. There's 1 in Nevada, 1 in North Carolina, 2 in Rhode Island, 1 in New Jersey, 1 in Tennessee, 1 in Texas, 1 in Wisconsin.
But the death rate's high. That's the thing, is that if you got it, there's like a 2-3% chance.
But if Mary wasn't compromised her immunity, would you be more... Obviously, you'd be more prone to
inclined to go. Sure,
right?
Yeah, yeah. There's no question. I mean, it wouldn't be a surefire thing, but I wouldn't be nearly.
Are you still going to take the time off?
As I said, I don't even know what we're going to do yet. Like, as I said, if we might just alter our vacation,
right?
And we might drive somewhere. Like, you know, we might end up like just I don't know going somewhere. I have no idea.
Right, because you're going to have a lot of vacation if you don't use it now.
Yeah. Yep.
You're going to have
stockpile a lot for the summer.
Right. Be able to take the whole summer off.
Although the week that we're taking off would be one of the easiest weeks to do radio. That's the one thing. Because that's Brady week. That's when we're going to know everything. So.
Yep.
Yep. All right. Rich, what's coming up?
Well, the Bruins, they continue on a roll. On top of that, Chris Sale spoke yesterday. He's obviously not a happy camper.
Yep. All right. We will be right back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lanes, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Dutcher and Rich.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Dutcher and Rich. You can watch us on Twitch. Keep young, sickly Nicholas employed.
It's no Belly Jamelli, Fred.
That's right. He's exceptionally thin. But nonetheless, he is trying to keep a job. His only job, essentially, is Twitch. We'll find out at 8 o'clock if he has another job. But nonetheless, you can go to twitch.tv and search Sports Hub or go and get the Twitch app.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to Sports Hub there. What happened last night already, okay?
Well, the Bruins, they continue to roll as we hit the home stretch towards the postseason.
Marchand kicks the puck to his blade right hash. Marchand backs it off, flips up top, Krug collects, shoots, deflected, they score! It's Charlie Coyle out in front. It might have been Bergeron who tapped it in the slot. Coyle was capped over at the far post for Bergeron. That's 30 goals for the fifth time in his career. A power play goal, and the Bruins have evened the game at one.
St. Patrice, he notches his 30th goal of the season, helping the Bruins win their fourth in a row last night against the Panthers 2-1. However, this was one that went into overtime, and all of a sudden, that's not such a bad thing for the Bruins.
Bruins saucered ahead. Here's Krug, 2-on-1, over the line, left side, into the left circle. Lost the puck at the last second, then poke check to the near corner. Pastrnak back of the net. He'll wrap it to the near point. Krug tees it up, fires. He scores! Corey Krug with a blast at the high slot. He whistles it by Chris Drieger, and the Boston Bruins sweep the Sunshine State with a 2-1 overtime victory over the Panthers.
Are there any Panthers fans there?
No.
I don't know. So, you wouldn't know it based on the spastic Surratt call.
That is a home crowd right there.
Well, we talked about this. I mean, you guys know this. The arena's out in the middle of nowhere, in Florida, towards Central Florida, right? Right next to the swamps.
I went to a game over, it was after Christmas. And first of all, We were staying in beautiful Aventura, Florida, where the ambulances outweighed the people.
And the malls are plentiful.
What city do the Panthers play in?
All right. Well,
Sunrise.
So we went and we went to the game, and then time kept passing and miles kept going. And we were like, what the hell's going on?
Yes.
So we got there and they were playing Toronto. And it was like, it was sold out. And because a bunch of people from Toronto go down there for the winter. And it was like chaos. It was like a Toronto. It was more of a Toronto home game than when I went to Toronto and saw the Bruins play the Maple.
There's one building near the arena. It's a mall. It's right across the street, and that's all there is.
That's where my sister-in-law went. She went for the whole game to the mall.
That's right. There's nothing out there.
Sawgrass.
No, it's like the guardian at the gate to the swamps in the middle of the state.
Yeah.
And once you get by, once you drive past the arena, there's nothing but swampland.
Yeah, they built it next to the TPC Sawgrass.
Yeah.
And it's in the middle of nowhere.
Is it at least a nice arena or is it garbage?
It's like the Kmart of arenas.
Yeah, okay. Like whatever.
It's nothing. Yeah. Nothing. Okay, it's there. Nothing. It's an arena. It's functional, but nothing spectacular.
Yeah, like I don't often look at arenas and go, like, they're crappy. It's not like baseball parks or, like, you know, football stadiums. Like, arenas are arenas, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, Torrey Krug playing like a guy who wants a $49 million contract. He buried the game winner, and the Bees, they continue to roll. That's not to say that everything went the Bruins' way last night.
Along the near side, look out. Dadnoff took one of the Bruins hard against the boards, and it's Carlo.
Well, Carlo was trying to finish his check on Dadnoff. He's coming in on him. I don't know if the stick got up possibly and caught Carlo up high. There was no real hit there, but the referee has a delayed penalty, but Carlo's in some distress.
After video review, the call on the ice, we have a minor penalty for elbowing.
That's unbelievable. That's unreal. He's probably going to get suspended for this, and they just took a major off the board.
Yeah, that was a strange one. It was an elbow to the face of Brandon Carlo. He goes down, slow to leave the ice. It was originally called a major.
Should have been.
But after review, inexplicably, it was reduced to a two-minute minor. Bruce Cassidy, for one, was not very happy about that after the game.
Barkov was coming down. You watched a couple times. He may be trying to make a little pass in tight. You got to, you know, get your arms up higher. And I don't know if he's trying to do that. I don't know if Dadnoff has a history of anything like that. So you hope not. But it's still an elbow to the head and a pretty good one where the player doesn't return. He's bloodied. It was clearly an elbow. So I don't know if intent is necessarily matters. So I thought the major would stay. It didn't. There's not much you can do about it. That's why they put the rule in place so they can take a look at it. That's what they felt. What can you do?
Was there any kind of justification that was released as to why it was reduced?
I didn't see it.
Because it was
clear intent. They're both skating over towards the corner. Dadnoff looked over his right shoulder, saw Carlo coming, and elbowed him in the face.
Yeah, I mean,
it was clear intent.
You see guys get sticks to the face all the time, and they get more minutes. I don't know why that was reduced. I didn't know if afterwards there was some sort of explanation, or if I missed it last night, but that just seemed a little strange. Well, Cassidy also added that they'll have a better idea how serious the injury is, if it's a concussion or not, later on this morning. On top of that, I thought this guy, from everything I've been told, this guy didn't fight.
Great shield dig down for the faceoff, right circle, the Panthers end. Here we go. It's going to be a dust up here between Riley Stillman along with Nick Ritchie. Ritchie fighting right handed. Fires a couple of right hands. Ritchie, a right that missed. Ritchie, a right. Stillman, a right. Ritchie, a right. And then he buried him with a late right hand.
Nick Ritchie, the guy who I was told doesn't fight.
No, I think that's it. That's his first fighting major.
He got in a fight last night. Not a bad one, too. He was all right in that fight. He held his own.
Sounds from the call. I didn't see it. It sounds from the call that he knocked some sense into that cad.
He finished it off pretty well.
Yeah, he gave him that cad the what for.
Honestly, with the criticism of the Bruins 3 weeks ago was they get pushed around. They weren't tough. We've seen a lot of fights the last week.
Craigie.
I mean, even Craigie. I mean, seriously, you've seen guys unafraid to drop the gloves and go. And
I call them Freds.
Really?
Yeah, unafraid. Mm-hmm. Not afraid to brawl.
Right.
So from now on, hockey fights are to be called a Fred?
No. Just like it's someone who doesn't care, who's in it to win it.
I see.
Yeah, who's not afraid for a dust up. That's called a Fred.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what Nick Ritchie took part
in. No, like you're saying the Bruins are a bunch of Freds.
Okay. Yeah. We were circling around it. Now I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think everyone got it before you.
That could be.
So someone who's a dumbass is called a Wallach.
So the Bruins now, can we label the Bruins as tough? I mean, this, they were labeled as not tough of about 3-4 weeks ago. I mean, this is a message being sent to those who
I'm going
to
label them as T-U-F-F, that kind of tough.
I see.
I'll tell you what.
All right.
They're still touring.
They are. They're, like, totally tough.
If you go to metalsledge.com.
What was the lead singer's name? Was it Tony Tough?
No. Stevie.
I thought his last name was Tough.
Stevie, oh, man. Because I go to Metal Sludge all the time, and it's his site.
I didn't know it was still around.
Oh, Metal Sludge is still around.
Okay.
They don't have the penis chart anymore or any of that stuff.
Okay.
But it's still around. They cover like what's the goings on with Enough's Enough.
Well, Nick Ritchie, who is obviously someone who is TUFF, said he actually enjoyed the fight last night.
Kind of give me a shot in front of the net this year before.
Stephen Rochelle.
Kind of a little bit ongoing from that, and he wanted to fight, so it happened, yeah.
There you go. So
Stevie Rochelle.
Big Nick Ritchie having a good time. And Stevie Rochelle says...
I didn't even have to look it up.
What was their song?
Now that I don't know.
I can't something losing you. I can't. Oh, man. All right, Fred. That's going to kill me. And as gross as Julian Edelman's...
I can find out because I can just go to metalsludge.tv.
You could. And as gross as Julian Edelman's one-way bromance with Tom Brady is... there's a bigger one in town that isn't annoying at all. As a matter of fact, it's incredibly endearing, and that is the one between Brad Marchand and Patrice Bergeron.
Well, that is a real one.
That's what I said. That is like endearing.
Well, that's two stars, too. It's like two stars. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's not some scrub. And then, by the way, I was at a establishment yesterday, and they had one of those without the noise on. I'm sorry that I'm diverting the conversation very quickly. On mute. And, they were just insulting Edelman. It was five guys insulting Edelman for like how inappropriate
that he's doing selling Tom Brady merchandise,
and that the whole act of latching on to Brady and using Brady to forward his own career. How pathetic that is.
Mm-hmm. That, I mean, that is weird. Even Brady called him out, which I thought was great on Twitter. He was like, "Hey, TB12 Sports, how much money are we getting from the Julian Edelman merchandise we sell? Is it even out?"
Just in general, like. You know, get off my nuts. Like, you know, like you're using me to like everything you do is using me. Even at the Syracuse game, like shut the F up. Like, stop it. Like, leave me alone.
Right. The one time you're on TV, it's like, he's coming back. He's coming back.
Yeah, like you're not on TV. Like, he's not on TV if Brady's not there.
Remember Chris Long when he was at the Patriots had an Edelman mask and went off on him in front of the media?
Ninkovich makes fun of him. They all think he's a clown.
Yeah.
That we cannot argue. You can argue his fame, but you cannot argue that his teammates think he's a clown.
They definitely tool on him. There's no question.
Yeah.
Brad Marchand, however, not a clown. Somebody who loves Patrice Bergeron, and here he is heaping praise on old rafters.
He's an impressive player, and he's just, you know, the perfect example of consistency. Every year he competes hard, he's dangerous around the net, gets to the dirty areas, and he gets rewarded for it. So very happy for him, especially missing some time. You know, it's not easy, but, you know, when he's scoring 30 and he's the best defensive forward in the league, it's impressive.
Ah, what a friend.
Well, I was not afraid of the dirty area.
That's right. Well, despite the win.
I was the first to show.
You were. The Bruins were still, they still remain at 9 points ahead of the Lightning, a team that, once again, they will face tomorrow night at home, 7 p.m. That's going to be a fun as hell game to attend.
All right. I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
The Melodic Rock Fest had to pull the plug because they had problems getting people in.
It was the Melodic Rock Fest. Who would be at Melodic Rock Fest?
Now, think bottom of the barrel.
Oh, okay. Because I was about to say Dream Theater or something like that.
No, Dream Theater, way too big.
Okay, I'm too big.
Just
Melodic Rock?
If you can get one band, I'll...
Sleazebees.
No.
Kix.
You're sniffing around.
Brittany Fox.
Sniffing around.
Okay. A Lillian Axe.
The headliner's bigger than Lillian Axe.
Okay, who?
It's Firehouse.
Oh, okay. See, they're big.
XYZ.
Okay, now we're talking.
Tony Harnell and the National Theater.
I have no idea who that is.
Loser? No, I don't know who it is either. All right, so if you were planning to go in Melbourne to the Melodic Rock Fest.
Melbourne, Australia or Melbourne, Florida? Sounds like this should be a Melbourne, Florida special. They'll probably live there.
Well, you went to Oklahoma to see the...
Rocklahoma, thank you. Rocklahoma is still one of my greatest weekend trips I've ever taken.
Rocklahoma's still going on.
Dude, I left Rocklahoma before the Sunday show. It was three nights. You know, I saw, oh gosh, like, you know, Warrant, Extreme, like all these like hair bands. But on the third night... It was so shoddily put together that the main stage collapsed, yeah. And I think like paralyzed the guy.
Yeah,
but I mean, it was so horribly
all in
thrown,
the name of rock and roll.
All in the name of rock and roll, I guess.
All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
All right, Chris Sale speaks, and Marcus Smart gets fined.
All right, here are the headlines.
Toucher Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lanes, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at ApexEntertainment.com.
Toucher.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
This guy is a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's good for the geese. It's always good for the gander. Oh, Sheila.
They let the instrumental ride in the beginning, and then they just go into bass. They're like, we're not gonna sing. We're just gonna let this. This is for the club. You know, we're not gonna interrupt it. Flint, Michigan, not written by Prince. Prince not involved in this project,
even though it sounds exactly like a former Prince song.
Yeah, just like, you know, every band sounded like Pearl Jam for a while.
Oh, but this song is strikingly close.
Yeah, this is almost like song.
Lady Cab Driver.
Martika ripping off Madonna. Not Martika, Regina. Remember Baby
Martika
Love
was
by
Toy
Regina?
Soldier,
no,
right?
Regina was
Toy
her
Soldier's
name.
The jam.
Toy Soldier's an okay song, yeah. No, Regina had a song called... there was Stacey Q and Regina were these two, like, Madonna ripoffs.
Stacey Q was Two of Hearts, I remember.
Yeah, two hearts that beat as
oh,
well.
That was horrendous.
I need you, I need you. Like, I mean, it was like... They just said, okay, who's the ripoff Jelly Bean Benitez? Let's bring him in here and just essentially take whatever the Lucky Star beat was and sing over it.
Do you remember if you want to ride my Mercedes boy?
Ride, Pebbles. Tell me what you're going to do.
Mercedes boy.
With me.
University of Michigan. I'm like in seventh grade. It's baseball. I was at baseball camp and there was a girls camp and there was a talent show. And these girls did the Mercedes song and, like, danced to it.
Ooh.
It was like porn.
Wow.
And I actually hooked up with one of the girls. But the arousal in the room, you could smell. Because they were just, like, slutting it up. And you're just like, hey, University of Michigan, these are the hottest girls that are ever going to walk through these doors. You need good grades to get in that bitch. That doesn't equal hot chick. Michigan State, now. It's a bunch of dumb hot chicks.
inversely proportional, is what you're saying?
Yeah, Michigan State is actually not a bad school, but it's not University of Michigan. I told you the story about University of Michigan where I was at a party and this girl who was hot was like talking to me, which is, you know, that never happens, like that like a hot girl talks to you. And we were outside and I'm like, wow, this like I'm going to hook up with this chick. And then the light, someone moved from a floodlight and she had not shaved her legs in like ever.
Ooh.
Mm. And then I go, oh, that's why she's talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
She's weird.
She's furry.
Mm. And then I put on my Elmo costume and...
You guys, the furry convention, I think, was in town this past weekend.
I'm surprised they had it with the coronavirus. Maybe they thought
they're protected. I mean,
that's a good suit
they can breathe through.
Yeah,
that's right.
I saw a guy dressed like a wolf wearing a biker jacket walking right by the Boston Common.
Well, he was like the Donnie Wahlberg of furries.
Right. He was the bad boy. He's the one who, you know, set the hotel room on fire as the other chipmunks were being, you know, good, kind, sweet guys for the camera.
Yeah.
Well, the Red Sox, I guess they received good news about Chris Sale.
Bad news.
They're saying that he's not going to have to get Tommy John surgery. As a matter of fact, for the second time in 6 months, it's going to be avoided. I guess that's good news.
No, it's not. He was resigned yesterday, and I know you're going to play the audio, and he says something interesting. He says, and you're going to play the audio, it's fine, but he said that they've been telling him for, like, basically since he started pitching.
20 years.
That this was going to happen.
And he said he's not sure if it's a good thing that he's avoided it this long. And, you know, does that get everyone off his back?
But I hope I'm wrong just because he's a human being. But my instinct is he will never pitch again. Because he would have to change everything he does. It's a miracle that it took this long for his arm to give out. Because, again, it's a miracle. Because if you took 1,000 people and gave them that delivery and had them throw that hard, first of all, you can throw 100 miles an hour and have, the perfect pitching motion and still screw your arm up because there's so much torque on your arm.
And there's also the workload. I mean, if you look at him.
But the way that he throws... He's a very lucky man that it took this long for his arm to fall off.
No, my only point is, if you look at his numbers, the workload combined with the torque on his elbow and his delivery and the fact that he's not a really big guy. He's tall, but not a big guy. I mean, even pitchers that are much larger than him, you take a look, there is a sudden drop. If you stack up like 5 or 6 200 inning seasons in a row,
His arm's fallen off, basically.
No, it has, but I think the fact that he is a strikeout pitcher who does throw so hard, he's not big, and is making, you know, he's throwing like 210, 220 innings a season,
His gift was his curse.
Well, here is Chris Sale talking about the old news yesterday.
Tommy John's been a factor in my life for 20 years now. You know, so obviously with these things happening, it's on the table, but it's always been on the table. People have been telling me this is going to happen for years, and I don't know, you know, if they get to say I told you so or if I made it long enough to where that's, you know, dissolved. I'm not worried about that. I can't read the future. All I can do is work my ass off to get back out there.
Okay, I think the question this would raise, though, if you are a fan of the Red Sox, is that if you knew the condition that Chris Sale was in, why'd you trade David Price?
Because they had to get below the threshold.
Yeah, because they saved $80 million.
That was a money thing. It was pure and simple a money thing. Yep. They've been denying that forever, but that's a big fat lie.
And
it's to get underneath that luxury tax threshold, and Price is making the most money, and they couldn't trade Sale.
And by the way, the Tampa Bay Rays have the best prospect since Mike Trout in their farm system.
That shortstop. Yep.
And then the Rays farm system is insane.
Mm-hmm.
And if when they get those kids up, because they're going to have 6 years with those kids. When they get those kids up, oof.
Yeah, they drafted it. They had all of those high picks for all of those years, and they drafted exceptionally well.
Yeah,
signed. They used the foreign market. They signed people exceptionally well. Yeah, they get a lot of good guys cheap.
I mean, I understand getting under the cap, and they wanted to do that, and I know that they've obviously lied or they've tried to color it as if that's not what they were trying to do by getting rid of David Price. But if you knew that his arm, Chris Sale's arm, was this jacked up, and you still got rid of David Price, that's saying we don't care at all about this season.
That's correct.
Like, we don't care.
Yeah, that's correct.
We're not even going to try to hide the
no,
fact.
No, you had to know. Sales elbow was jacked.
Not even 1 ounce of care on how this team does this season.
The biggest thing is that they re-signed him, which I couldn't understand at the time. I had no idea why you would possibly do that. I don't know what they saw or what pitching expert went and go and looked at the way he wears down during the season and looked at that delivery and looked at his age and looked at his workload and said, you know what, this guy, what, how many years is he signed for?
Five, starting this year.
All right, yeah, and said he's got 5 years left in him. I mean, he doesn't.
I heard Beadle hammering this, but he's right on this case, is that there's a tendency for ownership to try to make it sound like this was a David Dombrowski thing. But if you remember back to when all this happened, John Henry approved of this, and John Henry was all in on the re-signing of Chris Sale.
Well,
so.
Dombrowski, that's not his MO. Like, Dombrowski was out the door. I mean, when they re-signed Chris Sale, I mean, that's Dombrowski. I mean, he's like Harvey Keitel in Pulp Fiction. He comes in, he gets rid of all the crap. Mm-hmm. He does moves that you and I could do.
And then he leaves.
Then he leaves. Yep. I mean, so the Sale, I mean, he didn't think he was going to be here that long. I mean, the Sale thing was exceptionally dumb.
And more to your point, Rich, even if they were wearing rose-colored glasses and thought, you know, Sale will recover and he's going to be fine during the spring, his history over the last 2 years has been to break down regardless of how he starts the season.
I just think
they still traded Price.
His whole career. He is ineffective, less effective late in the season.
But as he's gotten older, less effective has turned into injured.
It turned into not being able to pitch, which before they gave him the extension was the case.
I think the whole Chris Sale signing was a panic move by John Henry, that he did not want another John Lester situation.
Well, that might also very well be true, but this is what the Red Sox are left with. You have Sale, who may not pitch again for a while. And your number two starter is Eduardo Rodriguez, who, you know, hurt himself, like tripped over his spike and tweaked his knee.
I'm not worried about him, though. Like,
he's not going to win 20 games.
But you don't know how he's going to be this year. And your third starter is a very injury-prone Nathan Eovaldi, who has started well, but that doesn't mean anything.
Well, I can guarantee.
And then you have nothing.
Don't interrupt me.
Sorry.
I forgot what I was going to. No, I'm saying. but there's no way Rodriguez is the number one pitcher in the major leagues.
Not right now, he's not. He might turn into something.
This year he shouldn't be, but he is right now.
Right now he's your number one starter, and he won 19 games last year, and that's what the Red Sox are going to sell you. And they had the pitching staff is, I don't know what to call it. It's a wasteland at the moment. There's nothing there.
It's a work in progress, John, is what they would say.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. I don't know. I've said it for years. I just don't understand Sale. I don't understand why they did it. It just makes, I mean, you could have a JV baseball coach go look at Sale and say, don't give him that kind of money.
I kind of feel bad for him.
I feel bad for him, too.
Nobody feels bad. I mean, nobody, like, wants Sale Sale for this.
Sale?
I think everyone likes Sale. Sale, every time he talks, like, he's like, dude,
brutally
this sucks.
Honest. He understands.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing about Sale.
I'm kind of sympathetic towards the guy.
You shouldn't feel bad for him, and here's why. Is that his effectiveness was based on his arm placement. And the idea that he made hundreds of millions of dollars and could pitch for that long, given his frame and his motion, is a slight miracle. So I wouldn't feel overly bad for him. I mean, he won the lottery. I mean, he won the lottery. I mean, if you took 1,000 guys and gave them that delivery, they wouldn't be able to pitch at all. The Cardinals got a guy who throws 105 miles an hour, and his arm almost fell off last year, and he's got a perfect motion and a perfect delivery. All right, Rich, we'll have a very quick before the headlines break. What are we going to do here?
Oh, the 49ers speak out on how much they may or may not love Jimmy Garoppolo.
All right, so we'll have that for you in just a moment.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lanes, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at ApexEntertainment.com.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is this Stacey Q?
Wait a second.
Or is this Regina? This is Baby Love by Regina.
Oh, okay. Wait, you're saying this is a Madonna ripoff? Where'd you get that?
I don't hear get into the groove at all. I mean, and her name was Regina, not Madonna.
I see.
Regina.
Sure. I don't get it. I don't even hear the similarity. I don't remember this song.
It was a hit. I mean, it was a hit for like a couple of weeks.
I don't remember it from MTV. And I used to watch. I got all my music from MTV. I did not listen to the radio.
Yeah, okay. Well, this was a radio hit. I watched a ton of MTV, and I can't remember this video either. But it was definitely a radio hit at one point.
I used to dig the ball.
The Headbangers Ball?
You got that right, Jack.
Yeah, and then like the cool kids in high school were watching 120 Minutes.
120 Minutes was on too late, but then they would show a Descendants video like every year. They would show the kids on coffee once a year, and it was very exciting.
It's where you could watch the latest Ned's Atomic Dustbin video.
Right here, right now, baby.
No, that's Jesus Jones.
Same difference.
No, Ned's Atomic Dustbin had two bass players. It's necessary to have two bass players. Yeah,
one does the melody, and the other guy's just holding it down.
Yeah, that's right. One guy just does like the actual core of the song, and the one's like, you do the high stuff.
That's right.
Unless Claypool's laughing at him, saying, I could do both of those on one bass.
And then you could listen to five Primus albums in a row, and then you go, I don't like his bass playing.
The Primus is one of those bands that, like, three or four of their songs absolutely slay. Like, just slay. Like, you hear them like, oh, my God, this is amazing. And then the rest of it will just be, like, noodling garbage.
My friend is such a fan of their drummer.
Oh, well, Larry Lalonde is awesome. But like, he's a great drummer.
Because he played drums, and he has a giant Primus, like, mosquito or wherever the hell it is tattoo on his arm. He just, like, it was obsessed with the drummer from Prime.
They are coming to the, what's it called? The Rockland Trust Pavilion. Is that the name of it now? I'm sorry, Larry Lalonde's a guitarist. I forgot what the name of the drummer is. But they are doing an entire Rush album, like all the way through, A Farewell to Kings. They're playing it from the beginning to end. They're doing a Rush tribute show.
No, that's how the first album started, with YYZ. Mm-hmm. And what band did Les Claypool try out for and not make it into?
Metallica. That's in right. that amazing documentary they did, Some Kind of Monster.
Because it's amazing, because you go, this is what happens when you have all the time and money in the world.
So did Scott Reeder of Caius. They should have hired him. They should have hired the guy from Caius. Well, there was a report, of course, that we heard that from, I think it was our own Tommy Curran here in town, who kind of started everything with the whole 49ers interest in Tom Brady. As a matter of fact, he reported that John Lynch and the rest of the 49ers organization seemed to think that there was a very low ceiling on Jimmy Garoppolo. Find that kind of interesting. But
and then George Lynch just said,
what do you want from me?
We're just going to go 80s metal all day,
I'll do 80s metal all day. It's one of the few things I have a really weird knowledge of. And, I mean, the Lynch Mob sucked, by the way. Dawkins sucked. Anything that George Lynch sucked.
Dawkins sucked.
They were the worst. I saw them in concert. He sat on a bench.
Well, Don Dawkins is not known for his ability to say no. He was the anti-Nancy Reagan.
Yes, I think that's the case. They're going to sing the food. Because he kind of ballooned up a little bit as well.
Well, we all do, but yes. Yeah, nonetheless.
So John Lynch was asked about this at the Combine, of course, GM, and they said, what do you think about Garoppolo? And he said,
we're extremely proud of Jimmy and committed to Jimmy moving forward. He's our guy. As I said, from the day he walked into our building, he made us better, and we continue to feel that's the case. And that's the most exciting thing about him is the room for growth. He's not come close to hitting a ceiling, and I think the room for growth, the more experience he gets in this system, the more experience he gets playing in general, we think the arrow's up, and that's a good thing.
That sounds like a lie to me. Make that move for Tom Brady.
What do you expect him to say? You know, Garoppolo sucks. We're looking for a replacement.
Yeah, get low value for, you know, your guy if you want to sign and, you know, you want to keep the guy and trade him, sure. Yeah.
Gruden
talk
kind
trash
of,
on him.
Gruden kind of badmouths Carr.
Well, that's because Gruden likes to he likes to neg people. You know, it's
like just living on the edge, man. Throw the it says what comments. He means.
Yeah. All right, Rich. We've retired the Brady line because it's just a bunch.
Well,
of
it's not retired. Just when we have great stuff, then we'll play it. I mean, there's one or two ones that I might sprinkle throughout the show later on because they're interesting. By the way, another quick Patriots thing. One that involves the Patriots. The Redskins are giving Trent Williams an opportunity to seek a trade. Finally. When they could have done that last year.
They're saying a fifth-round pick.
Oh, my God. You got to make that trade, don't you?
Well, yeah. When they could have gotten a first-round pick last year, they're saying a fifth-round pick.
How much is his contract worth?
I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, he's being paid a lot
of
money.
Yeah, it's a ton.
It's a lot of money.
But, I mean, he's a need. He is a need. $14 million, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and you can kick Isaiah Wynn inside to make up for the loss of Tooney. So, I mean, I guess that's a way to go. It's not an offensive weapon that I guess Brady would want.
Oh, but if you want to protect Dalton, that's what you're going to have to do. All right, no commercials here, just the headline.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 luxury bowling lanes, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
The Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.